Prima Donna by Karen Swan. Read by Imogen Church. Prologue. She pulled on the black leotard that had been handed to her when she'd enrolled. It was a size too small, and it pulled over the bust, but it didn't matter. She looked like a proper ballerina. She slipped the satin ballet shoes on her feet, they were still warm from the previous girl's audition, and tightened the ribbon for a better fit. It was the first time she'd ever worn ballet shoes, and she pointed her toes, admiring how her feet looked in them. The double doors to the audition room opened, and she looked up as another 5 girls came out. It was like that every 10 minutes. 5 girls in, 5 girls out. There were literally thousands of people milling about. She'd overheard someone saying 20,000 kids had come to audition for the 80 places. She tried not to panic about it. She could never have imagined that so many people would come, that she wasn't the only one looking for a way out to a better life. Many of the girls were busying themselves with impressive displays of stretching that were intended to psych out their neighbours just as much as to warm their muscles. She pointed her own toes and admired her feet again. To think, pink satin on her feet. For once they looked so pretty. They didn't usually look pretty. They usually looked bloodied, blistered and dusty, as she desensitized them by standing on river rocks and clambering barefoot over mountain scree. She looked up and saw her brother walking towards her, back in his Sunday best. The boys' auditions had been held all morning. "How did it go?" she asked, as he dropped his basket on the floor and slid down the wall, tucking his knees up. He shrugged. "I couldn't turn my legs round."
"You mean your turnout?"
He shrugged again.
"It's okay. You're only 8. They wouldn't expect you to be able to do much technically yet. They're just looking to see whether you got the right body type and any musicality,"
she reassured, squeezing him to her. The boy rested his chin on his knees and sighed. He missed Mama already.
"How come you know all these words?"
It was her turn to shrug.
"It's our escape ticket. I need to know as much about it as possible."
She looked around at all the children buzzing up and down the corridor. Anyone wandering in off the streets would think it was an orphanage.
"What will happen if we don't get in?"
he asked her, resting his cheek on his knee and looking up at her.
"That's not going to happen. We've prepared for this."
She tried to keep her voice even. She wondered how many others among the children had had only a book illustrating ballet steps from which to learn. He didn't know yet they weren't going back. That if they couldn't make a home in here, they'd have to make it on the streets. A door opened, and strains of Tchaikovsky filtered through.
"Hear that?" she grinned, full of the optimism of youth.
"Our lives are going to be filled only with music and beauty from now on."
"We're on our way."
His big, limpid eyes blinked. She heard her name called.
"Wish me luck,"
she said, leaning over and kissing the top of his head. She breathed in his scent and held him close for a moment.
"Stay here, and don't go anywhere."
"I won't be long."
She ran to the door, and it closed with a sigh behind her. She never saw him again. Chapter 1.
"Ah, leave me, I'll do it," she said,
her accent thickening with impatience as the dresser struggled to find the front of the tutu. This one, whisper pink with real diamonds sewn into the tulle layers, had a thong attached, Carnival style, at her specific behest. She stepped into it, completely oblivious to being half-naked in front of a room full of strangers. She slipped her arms through the ribbon straps for the overscaled tulle wings and jiggled her breasts in the balconette bra. She admired her reflection in the mirror. The audience wouldn't even notice the pink diamonds on the million-dollar bra. No one worked a tutu like Pia Soto.
"Miss Soto, if you're ready,"
the dresser said nervously, frightened of upsetting the notoriously temperamental diva